I'm just going to open in prayer, and we're just going to teach the Word. Is that all right? Teach the Word of God. I'm going to follow what I believe the Holy Spirit put in my heart. I've heard for a couple of days, two, three, 4 days. I just keep hearing the word covenant. And I believe there's so many places that we could go with this class. There's so much to teach, and this is just the first class. And so there's so much to teach on the subject of healing. But I believe, you know, and of course me, I'm thinking, well, you know, there's 99 different ways you could go with this. But I believe I heard, and I'm very clear about that, I heard the word covenant. So I believe that's where the Holy Spirit wants us to start, is talking about the covenant that we have. And look at that. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God, and we thank you that all things pertaining to the covenant, there was blood shed. And we thank you, Father, that in that covenant, healing and sin was paid for. And we thank you that as we set our hearts upon this covenant, the covenant of the Word, we thank you that in it, it has not only the redemptive power, but it has the power to save, not only redeem us, but to deliver us and heal us. And we thank you that as we meditate upon it, you'll unfold and reveal to us each individually what we need to know and grow in. And we thank you for the word, which is full of power and light, and the entrance of it provides light and health and healing to us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So let's start here. I want to make some general comments or points, I guess we could talk about healing, is that God is always provided for in his covenant a means to be healed. And so if we look at Exodus, if you'll turn over there, if you have your Bible, either paper Bible or you have your electronic Bible, you can turn to the Old Covenant or Old Testament. You can turn to the book of Exodus, and and if you don't have something, look on with someone and turn to Exodus 15, a familiar scripture verse, verses 26. And so God has always opposed sickness. And I make that point, he's not been in favor of it. So we can see that even he made provision for his old covenant, for his covenant people, which would have been Israel under the old covenant. He made a way. And so when Israel crossed the Red Sea, and we can see here, as they cross the Red Sea, and then, of course, chapter 15, it talks when they came out on the other side and they're headed towards their homeland, you could say. It says here in verse 26, it says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put. Now, in the literal Hebrew, it means I will permit. God didn't put sickness and disease on anybody. He provided the means to be free from it. And he said here, I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, or he permitted upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that does what? He healeth thee. And this is one of his redemptive names, Jehovah Rapha. And he is the Lord that healeth thee. I'm going to read from a few other translations. It says the Leser translation, for I, the Lord, am thy physician. The Knox translation says, I, the Lord, will bring thee only health. So you can notice here, the Lord is not making people sick. He's providing the means for someone to be healed. He said, I am the Lord that does what? He healeth thee. The Lord healeth thee. So he didn't put sickness and disease upon Israel or the Egyptians. It was Satan who put the sickness and disease on them. He's who? He's the God of this world. And he does what? He makes man sick. And now we're going to look at some things. Where did sickness... Well, before we jump there, look, turn over to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. And we're going to look at... Well, starting in verse 22, it says, But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angels shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites or Hivites, Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Verse 25 and 26, which we're familiar with. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy what? Thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. So you can see here, as long as Israel obeyed the covenant, they obeyed that covenant, they walked in health. They had no sickness among them. So you can also see, if you search through the Old Testament, there was no record of any premature death. There was no premature dying of babies or young people or middle-aged people. When they got to the place when they were ready to go home or to leave this earth, they just basically gathered up their feet. They laid hands on someone or their immediate family, blessed them. They got into bed and gave up the ghost and left. They just went to sleep, in essence. They did not die sick. Why? Because they obeyed the covenant of God. And he fought for them. And he also kept them well, right? So he was against, you can see here, he was against sickness in the Old Testament, and he's against sickness in this better covenant. This is a better covenant. So if he was against sickness in the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, he's against sickness in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. He made provision in the Old Testament. And he's also made provision for healing in the New Testament or the New Covenant that we have. He's made provision for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let me read this from the Message translation. These are all warning markers, danger. This is a modern translation. In our history books, written down so we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They are at the beginning, we're at the end. We are just as capable of messing it up as they were. So in other words, if we don't obey, if we get over into doing things where we do not walk in the covenant that we've got with God, in this new covenant, we can place ourselves out from underneath the umbrella of his protection and his grace. So it says, if it was written for our ensamples or our example, then that means we could position ourselves the same way as Israel did, by getting over into sin and doing things that we're not supposed to do. Same thing. That's what it was there for. That's what the scripture says. In the New Living, it says, These things happened to them as examples for us, They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So they were written as an example to warn us. Now, let's look at something that, when we're talking about the covenant of God or the new covenant, one of the first things we talk about atonement, you have to look at how did sickness and disease enter into this earth? And so if we look at Romans chapter 5, it begins to tell us how that happened. And of course, we know if we were to go over into the book of Genesis, we could see that, but let's, for time's sake, let's look at Romans chapter 5. And let's actually, I'm not going to start from verse 1, but let's jump down to verse 8. And it says, but God, let me just see here, I'll start at verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. We're justified when? Now. By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When did we receive it? It says, now we have received it. Now let's look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So through the fall of Adam, sin entered into this earth, and death by sin. And so we can see here this, and it says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So this sin nature was passed down through the bloodline, and so this is where sickness and disease came from. But thank God there's a cure for it, isn't it? And we know that this is in the atonement. This is in the shedding of blood. So we can see disease entered into the world through sin. And since disease entered in by sin, then its remedy must be found in the redemption of Christ. If sin and disease entered in through by sin, then its remedy must be in the atonement or the redemption of Christ. So since disease is part of the curse, its remedy must be the cross. It must be the cross of Jesus. Who could remove the curse but God? And how could God justly do this except by substitution? He had to find a man. It was his son. And his son came to this earth. In Hebrews it says, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So he came for sin, my substitute. So healing is in the redemption that Jesus provided for us. And let me just read this. It says Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There can be no remission of sin, and there can be no remission of sickness without the shedding of the blood of Christ. And his word, as it says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This is it. So the redemption for my sickness was in the shedding of his blood. And that's already been done. I just have to believe it. I have to receive what's been done. 2 Chronicles Let me read Leviticus. This is in the book of Leviticus, verse 14. Leviticus, verse 14. And this is, here we can see Leviticus, chapter 14. I'm sorry, I said verse. Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 20. And it says, the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he what? He shall be clean. So we can see here that in the Old Testament, there was provision for healing through atonement, but there had to be the shedding of blood in the Old Testament. And these were all types and shadows of something to come. So let's go over to 2 Chronicles, and this is a story about Hezekiah. And 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And just going to go through and highlight in verse 18 through 20. And we can see here how those that were not covenant people, well, let's read this here, verse 18. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate, I'm reading from the New King James Version, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. So in other words, there was a prescribed law. They had to be cleansed before they partook of something. And they were not. So they ate anyways. That's what it says. Had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And verse 20, and the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. He healed the people. So the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people, what? When they kept the Passover. Now let's go over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. And let's look at verses 3, 4, and 5. Well, let's start at verse 1. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's talking about Jesus here. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And that word is actually mean a man of pains, actually in the Hebrew, and acquainted with grief. That word grief is actually in the Hebrew means sickness. He was a man of pains and acquainted with sickness, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Basically, he was rejected. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. That word is sickness. He bore what? Our sicknesses. and carried our sorrows or pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of who? God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so here you can see, and let's look at, this is the Old Testament. Let's go over to Matthew and look at, under Jesus' ministry, in Matthew 8, 17. Let's look at this scripture verse referenced in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. And actually, I'm going to back up to verse 14. It says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them." In verse 16, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick." Now, my Bible has a colon after that. That means the thought continues. It's connected, this next verse. It says, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So Jesus was actually under this new, well, actually, under that covenant, this was actually hadn't been fulfilled. The new covenant hadn't been fulfilled until he went to the cross. But he's here showing that under this new covenant, that he is going to be the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He's saying here that he is going to do what? Take our infirmities and our sicknesses. And he's referencing that under his ministry, which is talking about himself. And again, what are we talking about? Hebrews, again, I'm referencing here Hebrews 9, 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin or no forgiveness." And so Jesus was our substitute. This is what we're referring to in Isaiah. He was our substitute, which is what we just got done reading in Isaiah 53. It says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." So redemption came through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to reference some other scriptures here. Just laying some foundational things here. Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who what? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." Healeth all thy diseases, not some of them. And see, if he didn't heal all, then it wouldn't have been a complete redemption. Then also when you see here where when they brought all the people to Jesus, if he healed just some, then it wouldn't have been a complete redemption. He was really reflecting that here, because that's what it said, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So he healed all. Psalm 105, verse 37, "He brought them forth also," this is, we're talking about the Israelites, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And James, let's turn over there, a book of James, Hebrews, James, and let's take a look. James chapter 1. Verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So we can see here that James is declaring God doesn't change. He said he doesn't even change, no variableness nor shadow of turning. He doesn't change a bit. We know that from Malachi. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I do what? I change not. I don't change. There's no variableness or shadow of turning. So he doesn't change. If he said he heals, then he heals. That's it. And so what we look at when we start talking about the covenants that we have with God, there's two parts, you could say, with a covenant. There's his part, and then there's our part, right? It's all not on God. So there's a part he has to do, and there's a part we have to do. So let's, talking about this covenant, let's go back to Deuteronomy 28, and let's take a look at this. Deuteronomy 28, and let's look at verse 1. And I know people have a lot of questions about healing. It runs the gamut about healing. You know, is it God's will? How come? All of these things. But this is where God has us right now. He wants us to just look at the covenant that we have with God, the old covenant, which has been superseded by a better covenant. But let's look at the old covenant. And let's look at verse 28, chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, in verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, see, this is our part. See, he's saying, you know, you have something to do, and then when you do what you're supposed to do, I'll do what I'm obligated myself to do. He said, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. So now he's going to do something. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And that's verse 2. And it goes on, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, or your barns, or I guess you could say today, your bank accounts, and all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many, many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of these words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And so when you look at verse 15, it says, but if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And you can see here that God is saying, look, if you don't obey me, you know, we think about it, parents have a way of saying to their children, they may not, well, let's just put it this way. When we were all growing up, if we didn't obey the commands of the house, there were privileges taken away. There were things. You may have gotten the rod of correction or a spanking, as they say. And so it's no different. God is a God that loves us, and he's saying, look, I want the best for you. If you just obey me, I'll fight for you. I'll bless you. But if you don't obey me, I'm going to allow some things to come into your heart, your life. In other words, he'll lift his protection from your life. He'll just lift his blessings from your life, and we all don't want that. We don't want that. So you can read through to the end of verse 64 or 65, and you can go and read the rest of that, but or 68. And all these curses included sickness and disease. And so God is not putting it on us, but your adversary is. And of course, in Galatians, let's go over there, and let's, since we're talking about this, let's go over to the book of Galatians in the New Testament, and let's look at chapter 3. So we're talking about the covenant and the atonement or redemption, and let's look at chapter 3 of Galatians. Actually, let's see here. Where do I want to start? Verse 7. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. It says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, who are of faith, we are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, how? Through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are what? Under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's what we just got done reading. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall do what? Live by faith. And it continues. And the law is not of faith. And the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now let's look at verse 13. We're talking about Jesus. He's our substitute. He's our redeemer. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being what? He was made a curse for us. He was made the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we can see here that under the Old Testament, there was provision, but they had to obey the law. And when they got outside the law, they put themselves in a place of being cursed or falling in a place where they could lose the blessing, the blessings of God. But here we found out that man, because of sin, man was separated from God. Man was separated from the covenant. And it took a man, it took God to come in, and we're not going to go through the whole story here, but of course, Jesus was what? The perfect lamb. He was the seed that came into Mary, the perfect seed, the sinless seed that was conceived in Mary and born without sin. So he was a man. He was God, but he was a man. And what happened? It says in Philippians, he set aside his divine privileges and operated as a man. He was God, but he set those privileges aside and he operated as a man, a perfect man. And that's how that had to be, so that he was the perfect substitute for who? Man. And so he was sinless, and he took our sins and our sicknesses, and he became that scapegoat, as referred to in the Old Testament. He was the one that was cursed of God. He was the one, as you say, let's look at, it says that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, for he, God, hath made him to be sin for us, who what? Who knew no sin. So he was made to be sin for us. He knew no sin. He had no reason to, he was sinless. That what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. And so he was made sin for us, and that all of that is wrapped up. So the origin of sin is from who? Is from the devil, from Satan. So he was the original sinner. And so this sin originated with him. It passed down. What happened? Adam sinned and fell. That one man caused sin. Death entered into this earth through sin, but it was through one man that came that what? Took our sins and redeemed us. And so life was made available to us. And so let's go over to 1 Peter 2:24. Let's look at this scripture for a moment. 1 Peter 2:24. Says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so it was through his stripes that we were healed. Sin was paid for. When sin was paid for, sickness was paid for. Actually, when you, This is not the lesson to go over it, but it says his visage when he was crucified on the cross. They tell you in writings that it would take maybe sometimes a day or 2 days or a length of time for those that were crucified on the cross to die. He died within hours. Amen. And it was, and they say, and some of the translations that you read, some of the other translations other than the King James, it says his visage didn't even look like a human. He was so marred with sickness that came upon him that his whole visage was disfigured. He said he didn't look like a human. How did that happen? That was sin that was laid upon him. And he became sin for every man. So you can see that, let's go over to the book of Romans for a minute, Romans chapter 4. And at the last verse, verse 25, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So he was delivered for my sin. And some of the translations, I believe it's the Young's Literal Translation, it says, when our sins were paid for, or when our sins, when we were justified, I believe it says, when we were made righteous, he was raised from the dead. Well, it wasn't his sins. It was my sins. So that was a good way of rendering that. When we were made righteous, when we were made right with God because of his sacrifice, he was raised from the dead. And there's other scriptures that say we were raised with him. I wasn't physically there, but my sins were. And if my sins were, my sicknesses were. Which is exactly what Galatians is saying. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile through Christ Jesus. So we can see that in the book of Galatians, that he was cursed, and because of his sacrifice, we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from the curse. Now, how does that, what does 2 Corinthians 5:7 say? It says, the just, or those who have been made righteous, well, we just got done reading here, that when we were made righteous or redeemed, that he was released from hell. Well, that means the just or the righteous are supposed to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. So when it comes to healing, I've got to believe the word of God, what it says, and take it as mine. And I'm going to share some things tonight in just talking about faith. But the two ingredients, the two key ingredients to faith is believing and speaking. You know, so many of us, you know, these principles we already know about. You know, I like to laugh, you know, we get a raise or we get a bonus or you get your money back from the IRS. You haven't got the money yet, but you filed the return and you know it's coming. I got some money coming. And you're telling everybody and you're planning out how to spend it and use it, but you don't have it yet. But you're believing it's coming. You know it's coming because you filled out the paperwork. And you do what? You know, you don't keep quiet about it. You talk about it. You speak. You make plans. So faith believes and does what? Speaks. And so where the covenant is concerned, the covenant has to be believed upon, But what we're doing here is we're pronouncing the covenant. We're preaching, we're teaching the covenant, and then it has to be what? Believed upon. Which is what, when you go to Mark 5, you hear the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And what happened? She came pressing her way through to get something. Because she had heard something and said, I'm getting mine. I'm going to get healed. And she had to do something. She had to press her way through. So she began to, and some of the translations say, she kept saying, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Now, I want to just go over for a few minutes. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh, all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You notice here, he says, my son, attend to who? My words. He didn't say attend to the 6 o'clock news. He didn't say attend to all of the newspapers and all of the things that are going on in the world. He said, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto what? My sayings. Let them, my sayings and my words, don't depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Life and health to all their flesh. So here's a key right here. We've got to do something here. We've got to keep them constantly before us. Some of the translations, it says here, knowing these teachings will mean true life and good health for you. The easy-to-read version says, these words are the secret of life and health to all who discover them. So this also means the Word of God cannot be health to either soul or body before it's heard, received, and attended to. So if this is the key here, it says if you do this, if you keep it before your eyes, keep it in the midst of your heart, let it not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of thy heart. It says, and you attend to it, or you activate it or operate it. It says what? It says that they are going to be life and health to all your flesh. So this means that it's got to be heard, it's got to be received, and it's got to be attended on or acted upon. So when God's word becomes health to all your flesh, sickness and disease will be gone. Now, I know people are going to say, well, I've done that and so forth. There are other things that we're going to talk about that could cause some problems. But if you'll just do this, if you'll just do this here, this is the key ingredients, as we say. So the method for attaining to results is to what? Have an attentive ear. That means you're inclining your ear unto his sayings. So you got to have an attentive ear. You got to have a steadfast look. That means you don't let them depart from your eyes. You know, what does the scripture say? Fix your attention on things above. Set your focus, your attention on things above, not on things of this earth. There's so many scriptures we could pull out with this, but that's just one I'm thinking of, that we need to set our affections, our attention, our mind on things of God. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I will say health. Life and health. So we have to be spiritually minded. What does that mean? Set your affections on things in this covenant. And there must be an enshrining heart, or a heart that keeps the word in it. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. For they are what? Life and health. Here's something that, you know, I'm becoming more clear to me. Sometimes, you know, you might know something in your head, but it's becoming clear. That means I'm seeing it. It's becoming real to me. That, and this is a point here, when your eyes are upon your symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than God's word, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed. You're putting the wrong kind of seed in the ground. So when your mind is, and your eyes are on your symptoms, we're talking about let not your eyes depart. What does it say? Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. So that means when your eyes are more focused on your symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than God's word, you're going to start sowing the wrong kind of seed, and you may not have the kind of harvest you desire. You know, I kept hearing, you know, I mean, there's so many life examples. You know, I remember Mrs. Hagen was sharing how she fell on her tailbone. Now, I remember here, we have a set of stairs that I used to have an office up in the, you know, above the sanctuary, the main arena, and I had an office, and they're steel stairs. They're all steel. There's no carpeting on them. They are steel steps. You can unbolt them and take them off. And so I had some equipment one time, and I used to just take two or three steps at a time. I used to just hop up, you know, as my younger, I just kind of skip up a couple steps and do da and this and da. And so when I'd come down the steps, I sometimes would do the same thing. And so, you know, just, that's just the way I was. It was just moving fast. And so I had a set of gear in my hand like this. It was a DAT player, a digital tape player. And I'm coming down the steps, and my feet went out from underneath me. And the steps, there's about 40-some steps, and I went all the way down the steps on my back. And by the time I got to the bottom, I was dazed, and I was dizzy, and I didn't feel good. And so I got up, and I started speaking the word. And I found out afterwards, one of the maintenance crew, God bless them and their little round hearts, decided to wax the steps. And we said, why on God's green earth would you wax steel steps? Well, we just wanted to clean them. And I said, thanks a lot. And fortunately, you know, this is God's protection. I didn't hit my head on the steps. Because when I was going down, I used to do, you know, track and these kind of things. I had a sense enough to hold my head up. Because if I had banged it, I don't know what would have happened. My tailbone, because when I was thinking about Mrs. Hagen, my tailbone had hit it. Now, fortunately, I didn't do any damage. I didn't break anything. I was just dazed. And I had a king-size black and blue on my backside. And fortunately, I just wasn't hurt. But I was thinking about Mrs. Hagen when she fell. She said she was in pain, excruciating pain. Went to the doctors, and the doctors said, you know, basically, look, we'll give you some medicine. We'll give you some painkiller. The strongest we can give you without administering intravenous. And so she took that, and she said, forget it. It didn't do anything. Didn't even curb the pain. And so she said, the doctor said, well, I'm sorry, that's the best we can do. You're just going to have to live with it. Well, that was not something you want to hear. And she said she began to, at her husband's direction, said, I believe that the healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in it. And she said, if I said it once a day, I said it 1,000 times a day. Not just a few times. She said, constantly I began to speak it and say it. Believe in my heart and say with my mouth. I began to say what I believed. Not just a few times. And she said, after a few months, not a few days, not a few weeks, after a few months, I think she said it was about 3 months, the pain began to subside. And she said it eventually, it just went away. And so this here, you know, you could focus on the symptoms, you could focus on the problem, but you could end up sowing the wrong kind of seed. And that's what this is saying here. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are what? They are life and health to all thy flesh. And so the covenants that we have, this covenant that we have with God, again, through Christ, which is a better covenant, but when we look at just even in Galatians, let's take a look as we close. It's 7 o'clock. I want to finish. And we'll pick up again at 7:30. But Galatians chapter 3, Christ hath redeemed me from what? The curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through how? Faith. And so that's how we're going to receive. We're going to receive the benefits and the blessings of this new covenant, even though he did become a curse, even though he did become a curse for me, even though, as it says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon me, the Gentile, through Christ Jesus. And 1 Peter 2:24, I can believe that in my heart and say, yeah, but then I'm saying something else. I can believe it, but if I don't say what I believe, then it's not going to come to pass. Anybody understand? And it is key. This is our first class. And so I trust that as you come consistently and you hear the word, it's got to be heard, and it's got to be received, and then it's got to be acted upon in order to benefit you. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this few moments that we've had together. Father, let the word of God that we've heard, we receive it, and now we purpose to act upon it. Faith without works, without an action, without a corresponding action is dead. And so, Father, we purpose to put into action that which we've heard and believed. And Father, we believe that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. We believe that every tissue and every organ of our bodies function in the perfection that you've made them to function in. We believe that every tissue and every organ functions properly. And we forbid any malfunction in our bodies in the name of Jesus, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll see you again next Wednesday, same time, 6 o'clock. Come expecting.